We had a wonderful morning. Thank you, Pastor, for spending the day with me, or the morning and afternoon, early afternoon. And we conquered the mountain. We courageously conquered the mountain. Of course, I was inspired when 8-year-olds were passing me. If they could do it, I could do it. Oh, but the view is worth it. And such a beautiful city. And it's a real honor to be with you guys tonight. Thank you for coming out. Some of you from maybe a further distance even. Thank you for being with us tonight. And that song just really touched me. There is but one love. And it is God's love. Come on, man. That is a great song. And we were basking in that love tonight. I think it was 18 years ago. I had the honor praying with and believing in some friends of ours that moved from our city to this city to pastor, and our hearts are so filled with joy for all they've done in these last many years serving God in your city. But David and Linda Disham are my dear friends and going way back. I love them very much, Pastor David and Linda. Their family is here. And all the other pastors that are with us tonight, God bless you. And thank you for being with us tonight. My wife and I just returned when I flew here on Saturday. I'd come from Italy, where Mary and I, my wife, were celebrating our 40th wedding anniversary there in Italy. And people were asking me there, hey, what's the most beautiful place in the world? Because they think I'm a world traveler, and I kind of am. And I just want you to know, I brag about New Zealand every place I go in the world. And, Florence, Italy is not a bad city. It's pretty nice. The Amalfi Coast is pretty wonderful. But I keep waiting to find an ugly city in New Zealand. Apparently, you don't have any. Just all gorgeous things. And this city really is just... I told Pastor when we were standing there at the beach and there was just like no one there. I said, man, this city is like a secret. I hope the secret doesn't get out and you grow by 1 million people. But I'm excited. I have the joy of my life is my family, and God's blessed us with now 7 grandchildren. And I call them the Super 7. For many years, for 8 years, we only had 5, and I called them the Fab 5, and they're all old enough to spend the day with me from 8 to 13, and I take them to a movie. And my last date last month was, we went to the video arcade, and I had to call my wife after about an hour, and I said, sweetheart, I've gone over budget, because it's amazing how much money we can spend in the video arcade. And then we went and had dinner. Then hot cocoa at Starbucks, no coffee, just cocoa. And then we went to see a movie. And my proudest moment of the night was not falling asleep after being with them 8.5 hours. And just so when I get back, I'm going to... But I want to show you a couple of pictures of my kids and my grandkids. This summer we had 2, last summer for us, which is like June and July, we had 2 new additions to our grandchildren, Dakota and Rosie. I don't know if you guys have those pictures. And that's Dakota, and she's at the... So whenever she comes to the church office, it's like magic. All the girls in the office disappear for like an hour and a half, and they have a photo shoot with little baby Dakota. She's my son, Matthew, and her mother, Candace, is our executive pastor. She's taking a warm milk bath there. And then my other new granddaughter, and that's Rosie. She lives in California, Laguna Beach, California. And I have to tell you her story. So she was born last June, and Mary and I were over there with Tim and his wife, and we were super excited because they didn't know the sex yet, so we didn't know it was a boy or a girl. And so the baby's born, and about half an hour later, my son's so excited, he said, Dad, we've named her Rose. And he said, we've named her Rose Moon Maiden. I said, what? I think I might have misunderstood that second name. He said Rose Moon Maiden. And so I gently tried to persuade my son. I said, you know, son, someday she'll be in school. And kids may find out about that name. And, you know, Dad, I love her to the moon and back. And my son's an artist, a musician. So he's eccentric and eclectic. So I just gave in. And I said, I will love her no matter what her name is. And so she was born in the afternoon, and that evening was a clear sky and a full moon, and their hospital was in Newport Beach overlooking the Pacific Ocean. We were on the 7th floor, and it just was a glistening. It was a breathtaking sight, and the nurse said, you know, it's a full moon, a harvest moon in America, but in Europe they call it the rose moon. So then I got slain into spirit in the hospital room and had to repent to God for trying to change my granddaughter's prophetic name. So that's Rose Moon Maiden, and she's special. And then lastly, this is just everybody at Christmas time. I don't know if we squeezed them all in there, and it's my little tribe of people, and my beautiful wife, who looks like my daughter, and son, and my oldest daughter over there. That's B.J. Putnam. If you like music, he's pretty good. For a few moments, then I want to share the Word of God, and then I want to pray for you and pray with you and just celebrate what God's doing. It's a special time for New Zealand, and it's a special time for us as God's people. In all of human history, this is the greatest time to be alive. And if we would really take the telescope of perspective and look at every generation till now, all the other generations dreamed of this generation. They saw a time when God's Spirit would move so mightily that millions and millions and people would come to the kingdom of God. And that's this hour. We think that around 250,000 people come to Christ every day for the first time, and entire continents are being affected and touched. And of course, your church, C3 Church, and these other churches are very much engaged in sharing the good news of Christ around the world. What a great time to be alive. There are more Christians alive right now than in all of Christian history combined up till now. So this is the best time. And in that larger, that longer perspective, I think, helps us to not become engulfed in really the difficulties or the trials of a smaller season of our life, because God chose you for such a time as this. You could have been born in the Middle Ages or before Christ or 200 years ago, but you were born now. You're alive now. And here you are in New Zealand. Here you are in church. Here you are walking with God. And all of those things were pre-purposed by God, predestined by God, arranged by God, because God needed you. He needed you. There was a problem God created you to solve. There's a purpose God created you to fulfill. There's a mountain God created you to move. He saw 2019. He says, I'm going to make me a Pastor Allen. He's going to move that mountain. He made you for this moment. And the more that we connect to the Holy Spirit, the more He enables us to seize and capture and realize that we're here by assignment from God. We're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. That's who we are as God's people. And the world's better because you're in it. The world's better because you're in it. My little message tonight is just called Don't Give Up. Don't give up. Would you turn to someone next to you and say, don't give up. A businessman, a young businessman, wanted to honor his parents on their 35th wedding anniversary. And he wanted to do something really special. And he was at the mall, and he couldn't find what he was looking for. And finally, he just kind of wandered into the pet store. And there he found just what he was searching for, something unique. He found a rare South American parrot that spoke 150 words in English. Well, this parrot was $7,000. He didn't care. He wanted it. He bought it. He had it crated and sent across the nation to his parents for their anniversary. He hadn't heard anything And a week later, and so he finally called up and he said, I'm just checking to see if you got the gift, Mom and Dad, that I sent you. And the dad said, son, we sure did, and it was delicious. And the boy said, delicious? That was a rare South American parrot that could speak 150 words in English. Long pause on the phone. Finally, the dad said, well, he should have said something. Should have said something. Don't give up. In Genesis chapter 41, I'll begin with Romans chapter 8 the way I gave it to you guys. Romans chapter 8, the whole 8th chapter is so rich, beautiful, powerful, and meaningful to us as believers. But verse 28 kind of is a climactic, beautiful verse, and it says, we know something. We know that all things work together. It's a great Greek word, synergio. Kind of a companion of our word synergy. All things work together, cooperate for the good of them that love God, called by his purpose. There's a lot in there, but I just want to really focus on God makes things good. And I just want to really encourage you. I've lived long enough now just to find out that verse is true by my experience. When I was young, I preached it by my belief, by my theology. But now I've seen God take really bad things and make them become good. And I just want to encourage you just with a couple of things. If it's not good, it's not God. If it's the fingerprints of God aren't on natural disasters, sometimes they're called acts of God. Those aren't acts of God. Those are the casualties, the consequences of a broken, fallen, sinful world. If it's not good, it's not God. But the second part I like to add is this. If it's not good yet, it only means God's not done yet. I remember being a little boy and my mom, when she would cook cookies or brownies or some other delight, and I just remember standing there by the oven and just, if she left the room, opening the oven and getting yelled at, Mikey, shut that door. They're not done yet. Whenever you look at something before it's done, its shape, its form, its value is incomplete. We misjudge what something is when we try to bring a conclusion about its value before God's done perfecting it, developing it. And in your story, I just want to encourage you, no matter what's happening right now, don't give up. Give God the chance to write a good ending to your story. If it's not good yet, it just means God's still working it for your good. Working it for your good. Working it for your good. And there's nothing so evil in your story, in your family, in your experience that God can't put his hands on it and make it become good. I just started pastoring in 1986 and we had a real tragedy in our church. Three young boys from one family and the oldest boy had a pilot's license and they were all missing. Somewhere in Arizona, they were flying up in northern Arizona. And so I'm at the church praying because there's great concern. And as I'm praying in my office, the Lord just said this one sentence to me. He said, Michael, they're with me. Then I knew the boys were dead. I knew it 2 hours before they found them. So my heart sunk. Can you imagine one family losing three boys in one day? And three on fire for Jesus boys. It just was incredible. So I sat there kind of I'm just a 28-year-old pastor, and this is a really kind of an overwhelming moment. And I sat there thinking, what is going to happen? And the Lord said this to me, if you let me, I'll turn this tragedy into a great victory. And I started to cry, and I said, well, my mind cannot calculate. I can't come up with a formula. I can't come up with the imaginative properties that would somehow allow me to even see how you could possibly do that. And then I just went to my piano and I'm in the sanctuary by myself and I wrote a little song. This is the day of victory for me. This is the day of victory for me. I've decided to go on. Through my God, I will be strong. This is the day of victory for me. Well, sure enough, they found him, and the next week we had the funeral, and we had national news there, and we squeezed almost 1,000 people into our 400-seat auditorium, and hundreds of kids from the high school the boys went to were there, and we were talking about the boys' faith, and finally we had the altar call. The parents said, we want to have an altar call at our son's funeral, and so we had an altar call, And as I stood on the stage and witnessing a sea, hundreds and hundreds of high school students raised their hand to receive Christ. And the Lord said to me in that moment, didn't I promise you that if you would let me, I would bring a great victory out of this horrible moment? See, there's nothing so bad, broken, lost, nothing so torn apart that God can't simply put his hands on and make it better. And that gives us kind of this confidence in life. We can be unafraid because no matter what it looks like right now, it's going to be okay because God's going to put his hand on it. He's going to make it good. He's going to make it good. At the end of his life, the patriarch Joseph said something. He rose up and he's now just preaching his last message, declaring his last words. And he said this in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. He said, you meant evil against me. He's looking into the eyes of his brothers and their families and maybe three or four generations of families. And he said, you designed, it's a great Hebrew word, the word meant. It means to imagine, to conspire, to purpose, to think, to plan, to plot, to weave, to... The portrait is a weaver's beam and different fabrics and colors being put together. And he said, you weaved quite a scheme against me. But God meant it for good. Well, let me get this right. God saw they were doing something bad, and it didn't stop him from turning it to be something good. His own brothers betrayed him, sold him like a slave, treated him as bad as you could treat him. The only thing worse would have been to take his life. They betrayed his trust. They betrayed their family. They betrayed God. And Joseph said, you meant evil, but God meant it for good. And the idea, he says, as it is this day, the salvation of all your family. He says, I couldn't be who I am today without the nonsense you put me through yesterday. I couldn't be great today without the sorrow I went through yesterday. And Joseph saw the beautiful meaning, the beautiful synergy, the beautiful coming together of his life to God's purpose because he didn't quit. He didn't quit when he was a slave. He didn't quit when he was a prisoner. He didn't quit when life broke his heart. He didn't give up on God. He didn't give up on himself. He had a couple of dreams that sustained him in the season of famine. His dreams were stronger than his enemies. The devil couldn't kill him because his dream kept repelling those intentions. Your dream will keep you alive when the devil tries to take your life. Your purpose, living a purpose-filled, a hope-filled, a destiny-filled life will keep you alive when the devil tries to take you prematurely. And he said, look what God has done. And he didn't say that out of any vengeance or any kind of vindictive heart. He said, look what God's done. Look what God's brought through our lives. And my last scripture is kind of the turning point in his life in Genesis 41, verse 14. He had been, for 13 years now, he'd been a slave and now a prisoner. And just an unbelievable set of circumstances happened to him. But his day came. The psalmist said, the word of the Lord tried him until his day came. And the Bible says this, and Pharaoh sent and called for Joseph. And they brought him out of the dungeon speedily, hurriedly. And he shaved, changed his garments, and came to Pharaoh. I just want to talk about three quick things because they really are part of my story. Then I'm going to pray for you. There comes a time when we don't give up. When God's word to our life knocks on our door and changes our season. He says, everything's changing today. I believe someone tonight is your changing moment. Joseph stood there, and now two palace guards, these handsome, ornate, strong, proven warriors, standing there directly from Pharaoh, opening the cell and saying, come on out, it's your day. And the Bible says they came out hurriedly. It's just the Hebrew word for running. They ran from the prison house to the palace house. It's amazing how quickly God can make up for a lost decade. It's amazing how God can, as Joel 2:25 says, restore the years to us. I will restore the years to you. God can do it. God can do it. And so there's a great verse in Amos chapter 9, verse 13. I love it in the Message translation. It says this: things are going to happen so fast your head will swim. One thing fast on the heels of the other. Everything will be happening at once. You won't be able to keep up. And everywhere you look, blessings. Blessings like wine pouring down the mountains. Don't give up before your day comes. Don't give up before your palace guard comes. Don't give up before your word comes to pass. Don't give up before God makes it good. The second thing was, as they're running and they're now making the swift journey from one season to the next, from one place to the next, they hand Joseph a razor and said to him, shave off your prison beard. And back then, prison beards were the common feature of all prisoners because they weren't entrusted with, you know, anything sharp. So anyone that could grow a beard would grow a beard. And so they all had beards. And Joseph looks at that razor. And the thing about life is this, that the greatest battle for your life will always be the enemy's strategic demonic attack against your kingdom identity. That will always be the strongest attack, because the devil's not afraid of you doing stuff. He's afraid of you becoming someone. And I tell my church this little simple rule, that in evangelical Christianity, the kind of churches we share a common universal principle that the most important thing in life is what we believe about God. That all of eternity hinges on who we say Jesus is. But I add a little second point. I believe that the second most important thing in life is what you believe about yourself. When we believe wrong about ourselves, no matter how great God is, we limit how much he can do through our story. And so the Bible, by its own definition, itself identifies as a mirror. The Bible is a book of identity, not behavior. It's not a book of rule. It's a book of revelation. It doesn't tell us what to do. It tells us who we are and then shows us what that looks like. We're in this great moment, this great season of the Father's love, and so much of it has to do with us really attaching our core beliefs, our hearts to the proposition that we are the children of God. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Joseph took that razor, and I wonder if they stopped. I often think about it. I wonder if he kept running and shaving and praying he didn't kill himself on his way to his destiny. But he had to shave it off. And I just want to say this, that you can't look like your history when you go into your destiny. One of the things the devil will try to do, he will try to mar you in this season so you can't be where you're supposed to be in your next season. And so that happens. Discouragement is often the greatest when breakthrough is the closest. And when discouragement kind of hits you like a hammer and tries to take the oxygen of hope from your lungs, you have to fight back, push back, and believe in God, trust in God, even when you can't fully understand what's happening. And Joseph, shaving off his beard, he's letting go of his past. My beautiful grandchildren. So I'm familiar with every new kids movie because I watch them on average 84 times. And so, but one movie they fell in love with for like 2 years. And I watched it so many times, I needed counseling. It was the movie Frozen. And there's a movie in there, there's a song in there called Let It Go. And so I'd be laying in my bed after being with the grandkids, and I'd be laying in my bed, that song tormenting. I said, please, God, let it go. It won't leave me. But the word let it go really is the phrase let it go is a powerful phrase, because that's what the New Testament word for forgiveness means. Ephemi, P-H-E-M-I, means to shoot an arrow, to let it go. It means this: when you forgive, you release the pain of your life to God. forgiveness heals us. And so I want to just briefly tell you my story. So I've been, I've known Linda since we were, I think, preteens. Our parents came into the Charismatic Renewal together in the States. And I went right from high school to seminary and started my first church. I was a pastor for 8 years and music leader and then associate youth. And I started my first church at 27, and Jesus blessed it in spite of me. And it just took off. It was in my hometown of Scottsdale. And the Lord prophetically, I saw in a service like this, I walked to the back row and laid hands on a 19-year-old young black man, prophesied that he would win Grammy Awards and change the world for Jesus. And his name was Israel Houghton, and I hired him and put him on my stage before he knew one Christian song, because I saw who he'd be and all that. So that church exploded and grew to a little over 4,000 on the weekends. And after 10 years, and we were building our building, a 4,800-seat auditorium, which is, that's a big building. In August of 1995, when our building was halfway up, our treasurer embezzled $20 million from our church accounts, all of our church accounts. So that's not a good thing. That's not a good thing. So he went to prison. We never got our money back. And he was running a Ponzi scheme. It was kind of a complex deal. And I'd made a horrible mistake in empowering him. Back then, I just wanted to preach, pray, and prophesy and not worry about business. Maybe I should have worried a little bit more about the business. And so bad things happened. And our church grew from about 4,400 to 150 people. That's the wrong way on the chart. That's upside down. And we had 10 front page stories, headline front page newspaper stories written about us. Put a picture of the church, a picture of me. It was never a good picture. It was always like, there's Pastor Maiden. Something wrong with him. And death threats, and we lost our house. We were literally physically homeless on Christmas Eve. And just unbelievable stuff. My oldest son became a drug addict for 7 years because his heart was broken. You imagine losing all your friends and people kind of bad-mouthing your family. And he's 13. It was a little much for a 13-year-old. So all those things really happened. I had 15 attorneys, which I call purgatory, concurrently. I had them at the same time. And I became clinically depressed, seriously depressed. And I knew I was depressed because I just, by the providence of God, I was finishing my graduate work in psychology. So I laid on my own couch and said, "You're sick, sir. I know I'm sick." And it's hard to be 37 and feel like your life's over. In my field, the currency of ministry is trust. When you lose people's trust, you have nothing. So I had nothing, and just everything collapsed. And a couple years into it, I've never done drugs or alcohol. I did candy bars and donuts up to about 3:30, I think, is when I maxed out at. I'm not belittling anyone's weight situation here. So life was really hard, and the Lord spoke to me one day. He said, "Michael, would you like the pain you're feeling to leave?" And I said, "Yes, I would, Lord, and I have a suggestion. I've written some names down here. If you would simply kill these people, begin with him. Just go. And Lord, however you want to, your kingdom come, your will be done." And he said to me, "If you will forgive the people that have hurt you, I'll make you forget the pain they've caused you." That's Joseph had a son in that same chapter in Genesis 41. He called him Manasseh, and he said, "God has made me forget." It seemed like when he said that to me, I know enough of the Bible. I said, "I know I'm supposed to forgive, but I don't feel forgive. I don't feel it. It feels like if I say it, it's disattached from any kind of emotional authenticity. It's not real." And the moment I said that, he gave me this vision of this really long train, and the engine had emblazoned on the side the word faith. And way down at the end, 100 cars later, was a little caboose, and it said the word feelings. And I got it. When I set my faith in motion, eventually my feelings will follow. I don't forgive because I feel like it. I forgive because I know my feelings will eventually follow my faith. That forgiveness is an act of faith. And so I made a list and I prayed four times a day for these people. And only about 6 weeks into it, as I'm praying for them, just, you know, biblical prayers and asking God's best blessing, it was all coming from, you know, one part of my mind. All of a sudden, I felt heaven come into my car. I began to weep uncontrollably. I don't know how I got home, but I got home. And when I got home, I realized I didn't hurt anymore. And when you've been in a 2.5 year serious manic suicidal depression and it leaves like that, you know God has touched you. And so now I'm a big believer in forgiveness. Always have been. It works. And so Joseph shaved off his beard. I had to shave off my beard. I had to let it go. See, God didn't call us to be lifelong victims. In the States now, we have a victimhood culture where everyone's talking about their things. But the only problem with being a victim is you never get better. You never get better. When Jesus healed my heart, something remarkable began to happen. It started to dream again. You know your heart is healthy when it dreams again. God made your heart to be a dream factory, to work in conjunction and cooperation with heaven, to imagine a heavenly, God-ordained future in the earth. When you're not dreaming, something's wrong in your heart. Your machine's not working right. And so the Lord helped me, and so many good things happened, just fast forward and 16 years ago, we walked the church through a 7-year bankruptcy period and then started over 16 years ago, and the Lord blessed us. And now we have a bunch of campuses. God gave me like a $40 million property for free. My favorite word in English language, free. And everything I lost gave back to us. You know, it's just been my son, who is an addict now, is a pastor, a businessman. That one of those babies was his, and so many miracles, 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 miracles. When I got healthy, everything got better. And I just want to tell you, no matter what, now I look back and I can say, God makes all things together work together for good. My experience. I just wrote a book called God of the Comeback. And it's on Amazon. I remember walking the floor 2 or 3 in the morning. How could this ever turn out for good? How can you make so many brokenhearted people, so much scandal, so much shame, so much pain? If I had a time machine, I'd go back in time. And I'd counsel that young pastor and say, man, just trust God. Don't worry about how God's going to do it. Sometimes God does it in obvious ways. He's kind of Jehovah sneaky sometimes. Don't worry about the how. Just know the who. Trust Him. Believe Him. The next thing is the palace guards handed Joseph his garments, and he changed his garments. And I don't have enough time to talk about that. Just restoring a broken identity. Restoring who he really was. Like the prodigal's father who handed him a new robe. Say, take off that old robe. Let me show you who you are. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's what God does for us. But I just want to pray for you. I'm filled with a passion to help hurting people. And our church now, like Pastor said, we have 100 nationalities on the weekend. We do church in 9 languages on our campus. It's just unbelievable stuff God's done. It's just one miracle after another. And I'm just so grateful that I didn't quit. I did 1,000 things wrong, 1 thing right. I didn't quit. Don't give up. Don't give up. Lord, I pray for these beautiful men and women. I pray for each one that you know, you love. You're with them. You created them. You know every detail. You know every moment, you know, every battle, every storm, every trial, every trauma. There's nothing you can't fix. There's nothing you can't heal. There's nothing you can't put your hand upon, like Joseph said, and make it good. I pray, God, that hope would awaken tonight. anyone who's been feeling hopeless. And that by your love and by your Spirit, God, you would just occupy the space that maybe hopelessness or discouragement has tried to possess in our lives. It's going to be okay because you're with us. You're faithful. And I pray now, God, for anyone who's been battling with discouragement, hopelessness, anxiety, or depression, the things I know so well. I got so depressed, I wrote a country western album. It's pretty amazing since I don't like country western music. But apparently that's what they, the kind of music they play in the Depression Hotel. If God can do that for me and help me, he can help you. And so I pray, God, for anyone here that maybe I came all this way just for one person tonight to let them know that you're not going to fail them, that you're with them. And if you're here tonight and you say, man, I've been wrestling with discouragement. Maybe it's actual depression. Maybe it's continual anxiety, hopelessness. If that's a part of your story, then I'm here tonight to tell you everything's changing tonight. Everything's changing tonight. And Jesus in his first message said, I've come to heal broken hearts. I know how to do it. If you say, man, that's me, Pastor, you give me the honor of praying for you. If you say, Pastor, I'm struggling with hopelessness or depression, discouragement or anxiety, would you just wave your hand at me and just hold it up for a minute if that's you in the church tonight? Because we're just going to watch Jesus do a bunch of miracles, and I'm just 100% assured of it because he did it for me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for these beautiful, just keep your hand up between you and Jesus. And congregation, I'm going to ask for your help tonight. If someone has their hand raised around you, would you help me pray for them? We're going to get every person here kind of ganged up on. And I'm going to pray for a few of them. And can I pray for you, ma'am? Yeah. So anyone that had their hand raised, make sure three or four people are touching them on the shoulder and just believing God to do. Yeah, just anyone that has, there's a couple ladies there and a man in the back. Don't let anybody be sitting alone. Hey, what's your name? Stephanie. So, Stephanie, I got a great word for you. That God, just like Pastor said, God's fighting for you. God's on your side. God's with you in this moment. He's helping you. It doesn't really matter kind of the construction of what ails us, whether it's chemical, biological, spiritual, emotional, from history, or from all that. He's smart enough to kind of figure all that out. But I'm declaring over you that kind of a predisposition toward some mental infirmities is being broken off of you. The moment I touch you, I saw five miracles down your family. I loosen the miracles in your family. I break hopelessness. I break one person's addictive behavior. I break another person's suicidal tendencies. And I loosen a miracle to you and to all of your family in the mighty name of Jesus, the Lord of the church. Thank you, God. So when we go through something tough, okay. So I never thought I'd be like a depressed person. But my world caved in. And so I saw something cave in for you. So something 11 years ago and something just like a year and a half ago. And God's going to help you overcome the failures of someone else. God's going to help you overcome the pain of someone else. And I declare over you, so Stephanie, I declare, so this is me, I declare that by the end of this year, you're going to have so much joy that you'll just be known. Here comes laughing Stephanie again. She's always so happy. And that God is just turning things around for you. God, I thank you for helping your daughter in Christ's name, that you take away what life did, what life brought, what pain tried to remake her. I thank you for healing Stephanie. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. Thank you. Sir, can I pray for you, this nice man? Are you with her? Yeah. Can I pray for these lovely people? Hi, what's your name? Blake?
Mike.
Oh, I, that's a great name. Hey, Inga? Mike and Inga. Would you spread your prayers? You can keep praying for the person you were praying for before. Pray with me. Lord, thank you for Mike and Inga. Thank you for your love for them. Thank you for hand upon their lives. Thank you for the story. They're joining. As I pray for this couple, pray for Mike, I'm going to say a couple of things about grief. And so I'm declaring, Brother Mike, that grief is leaving you tonight. So because you have a wonderful heart, you have a sincere, loving, devoted heart. So you've kind of rightly grieved over deep loss. But I heard the Lord say, he's not done in that part of your family. And what was taken from one life, God's going to multiply in another life. I see a grandbaby rising up to greatness. So I declare for you that God is fighting for you because you're a good man. You're God's man. God's not going to let you carry you and Miss Inga a lifetime of... You're not going to finish your race this way. God's going to give you a new wind, second wind, a runner's wind. And you're going to feel joy. You'll remember death, you'll remember loss, you'll remember pain. But it won't be a part of your emotions. Remember it up here. God, thank you for a miracle with this man. In the name of Jesus, Lord of the church, I loosen your grace upon them as a family. I loosen a miracle. I loosen, God, a double portion upon a grandson, a grandchild that rise up to be great. And I declare, God, that what someone else has lost, someone else will gain, and someone else will see. And God's not even done. He's not done. The wild horse, the wild stallion, the wild one's coming back. Do a miracle. Do a miracle, miracle, God. I loosen a property miracle to you in the name of Jesus Christ, or physical property. I declare any kind of contention, uncertainty, any legal complexity, whatever it is, I loosen a financial property miracle to you in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord of the church. God bless them. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Thank you, God. Lord, we love you. Come on, just stay connected to the Lord. And the sound guy told me this mic only has 7 hours of battery, so we only have six. I have to abide by my time. So, Lord, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives. I pray, Lord, tonight for anyone. There's so many things I feel, but I want to pray for anyone tonight that needs a physical healing, and beginning with people, anyone in physical pain. So, I know a pastor's in physical pain from climbing a mountain today. I was with him. I thought he was jumping around. He told me he wasn't going to jump around the song. So he was. If you're hurting physically, would you hold up your hand and let us pray for you? Because we want to believe God to do a miracle. Amen. So God, we thank you for our brothers and sisters. Come on, congregation. Let's get a bunch of miracles right now. If someone has their hand raised, just reach over and touch them on the shoulder. I pray for my friend, Pastor David Dishram, right now. I loosen the power of God into your body, your life. Keep praying. You're doing good. Father, let pain leave this room in the name of Jesus. I had this funny vision, Pastor David. I saw like a car engine, and you pulled up and said something's wrong with the engine. And the mechanic lifted up the hood and looked and said, oh, it's just this hose is disattached. And he reattached it. I saw God touch your heart and attach a hose. So I loosen a miracle into your body in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord of the church. I declare God's grace on you, top to bottom. Psalm 91 says, with long life I will satisfy you and show you my salvation. Thank you, God, for all the things that lie ahead. Salamo komi atala masalo madala bosho biyadala basalebeki. I see her. I see her, this beautiful blonde grandchild. She's receiving, it's either a master's or a doctorate degree in a college ceremony, and you and Linda right in the front row, thinking how many years that is. It's over 20. So there are many things in your future that God's determined for you to see. I declare you will see them all in Christ's name. And God, I thank you for your faithfulness. Your promise to this family is so powerful. Nothing can stop it. So, miracle God, we declare a miracle happens tonight in your Son, Jesus' name. God, touch this man in Christ's name. Thank you, God, for healing. Are you guys together? Are you pastors? Yeah, can I pray for you? Where do you pastor at? Put your hands toward this lovely family. Well, thank you, God, for these. Your servants, your children. Thank you, God, for what you've done. So, Pastor, ahead. So, I feel good about climbing a mountain today. There's a couple things that made me feel bad. Like the young mother who passed me with a baby on her back. I'm like, I just lost my man card. There goes... I saw you care in an extraordinary way. A couple things about it. You've never run from hard tasks, hard assignments, and weighty responsibility. There's a strength in you, a steeliness that's really a gift to God. You've had to bear in a youthful life more adult weights. Beginning, I saw you 14. In your own family, there was weight put on you because of who you were, reliability. And so you've had this whole life of just being the guy, being the man then, being the man now. You're still young and you're the man to a church. God's just really proud of you for never resisting, never saying someone else should do this, but you've simply embraced the thing God had for you. God could not be more proud of you, young man. He thinks you're awesome. And I'm going to lay my hands on you. I break the demonic assignment against your church. I command it to end tonight. I break the spirit of division, false accusation, kind of a witchcraft controlling thing, unusual things, unimaginable things. You can't, it's like a, you can't quite figure out what's going on, but tonight it ends. The storm ends tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. I declare it ends. In the mighty name of Jesus. God, thank you. Thank you, God, for what you're doing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. You know, what's your name? Grace. So, Grace. Perfect. So, Grace, you've not done anything wrong. You're not in the wrong place. Not... Sometimes the devil just is so afraid of somebody. He rises up against them. The devil is trying to defeat you in this season because he's afraid of your next season. There's a city taking grace and powerful anointing upon both of you to make a difference, a big difference for God. You're called, you're chosen, you're anointed, you're in the right spot, the right place, and Goliath's coming down. There is a victory going to be won. So three, kind of a succession of three leaders, then you, but you're the one. You're the one, you're the one, you're the one, you're the one, okay? You're the one, you're the one, you're the one. You're going to do it. You're going to do it together. So God's helping you. Just watch what happens. So God, I thank you. I thank you, God, that this precious family is, they drive home tonight, they're going to feel joy. Because victory has, the heavens have been torn open and you've declared victory over their lives. In Christ's name. You guys have any little graces yet? Three under five. Woohoo! As a grandpa, I think that's great. So God bless all the little graces. What's your name? Adam and, it's like the Bible right here, Adam and Grace. Bless Adam and Grace and their little Adams and little Graces. So here's God's deal to you, Miss Grace. Your children will flourish in this city. Are you pastor in this city? Because you're in God's will. I loosen supernatural scholarship to come to them, supernatural academic breakthroughs. I see one with a gift of drama and communication and outrageous, great person. So all your children's gifts will blossom. And God's deal to you is that your family will be kept in a bubble of grace, protection, and favor. Nothing can come in that bubble that God hasn't sent. So God bless this family and their little Adams and Graces. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. I should have covered this earlier. But by the way, anybody we prayed for, has the pain left? You came in with pain and the pain's gone? Wave your hand at me if that's him. Yay, there's one, there's another. That's great. Anybody else? The pain's gone. So that's going to happen to everybody, but we think it's God's right. I'm going to pray for our dear pastor tonight, Pastor Allen and his wife, and just thank God for their contribution. Pastor, would you let me pray for you and Miss Onor? Thank you, God, for this beautiful family. We bless them. We declare your grace over them. Your kingdom come, your will be done in every way. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Pastor Allen, it's such a God thing. God takes people that never quested for the platform and gives them the platform. You refined not being on the platform, but here you are. God gave it to you. You've earned God's trust. You're a faithful man. Everything you do has integrity in it. You do integrity in finance, with people, relationships, in your family. You and your wife have built such a godly environment in your home. I feel the presence of God there. I see angels all around your family. Special things happening. And the Lord's just really proud of you. So when we drove up this morning just for a bit, I could feel the presence of God in this property. It's a holy property to God. For all the years, however many years it's old. And God is proud of you for successfully taking the baton and going to the next level. So God, I thank you, God, that you raised up this family. And I guess, sister, I saw this cool thing. You have, so this is just a metaphor. So you're standing there, and I see you have like these huge ears. So just imagine like 2 feet ears. And so this is not a physical assault on you. So God's given you such grace to hear things other people don't hear. You hear the wind before people feel it. You hear the sound of God's voice. You hear him walking in the cool of the day. You hear him speak things about your kids and your husband, your church. You really are prophetic. That's what we would call a prophetic heart. God's just so proud of the way you've stewarded by intercession, by action, by behavior. You've been a great steward of acting on the things God has said to you. And you and your husband make such a great team. And your personalities are kind of opposite, but you fit together so good because of the way you function together in your gifts. And it's like God made you a secret weapon as a family against the enemy. And the Lord's just really proud of you. So God, I thank you. So I'm going to say some things now. Kind of, I feel like God's releasing me to say some things to New Zealand from this moment. So God, I thank you that the greatest revival in New Zealand history is going to happen. And that this city is going to play a major part in that revival. You've chosen, your heart is in this city. Your head may be in Auckland, your feet may be in Wellington, but your heart is here. And so, my God, I thank you. You've healed the heart of this city by churches like this and Dave and Linda's and the other pastors that are here. The heart is beating again. Now the body is being animated again. And God's promises. And so part of the really strategic importance, Pastor Allen, is that you've bridged generations. And God, so I saw it before. I saw something 37 years ago. So we're right at that 40-year juncture when God visited this country with so many signs and wonders, so many breakthroughs. From north to south, east to west, there wasn't a city that didn't have God encounters. And yet so much of that was stolen through failure, or disappointment, or discouragement, or moral collapse, whatever it was. But God is circling around. The eyes of God are on New Zealand again, and he's focused on his purpose. And now a new generation of leaders, and you represent that, has risen up in the earth. Leaders that God entrusts, that there's the quality of faithfulness and holiness and godliness and the qualities of true faith and vision and unity in their hearts. And those are the things God needs, and God's doing something. So watch, we sit here tonight and the church is mostly full, but the time will come when there's so many people that this room will seem small, and the services will start piling up. And just watch what God does. It's symbolic of what happens across the nation. The greatest harvest of souls coming to the kingdom of God is about to hit this land. The devil tried to preempt it with a strike earlier this year and trying to disrupt the heavenlies. But God has ruled on the behalf of New Zealand. And I declare that revival comes, that a harvest comes, that the promise of God to this land will be fulfilled, and that nothing can stop it for such a time as this. And they will say, out of New Zealand comes once again the great apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. Out of New Zealand comes the sound of heaven, sounds that the earth has never heard before. Out of New Zealand comes the kingdom of God manifesting in glory, and missionaries coming, and they'll come and study the things that God has done here. And the churches will work together like Peter and Andrew, who shouted to James and John, help us, our nets are too full. To a spirit of unity you have now will grow into a spirit of kingdom partnership as it relates to souls. So God, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for Tauranga, the heart of New Zealand. Thank you for healing the heart in the name of Jesus. I see 21. Is the boy 21? So in the 21st year, God is visiting your son. Now, he had something happen at 13. He had something happen like 16. But he's going to have his greatest visitation this next year. God is marking him for the future. Watch what happens. A great evangelist is in your family. And he will shake this nation in his lifetime. God, thank you for what you're doing. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen, amen. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I want to thank you, Jesus. Can you bow your heads just for a minute? Pastor, I'm totally submitted to you tonight, so whenever you feel like you want to end the service, just come up and I will humbly submit to you. But I got my prophetic things going, so it's going. But I just want to pray for two people tonight with no one looking around. So God is going to use the church to crush the spirit of suicide, which now New Zealand's on the top of that chart, you know, per capita. So the government wants to fix it, but they can't. Only the church can fix it. But two people here tonight are going to leave this meeting completely delivered from suicidal thoughts. And while the church is praying, we say, I'm not going to call you forward. I'm not going to embarrass you. You can talk to me afterwards if you'd like to. But this word burns in me tonight for you. And if you say, Pastor, I've been fighting suicidal thoughts first of all, I'm so proud of you for making it to church tonight. But tonight is your night. And everything changes tonight. If you say, Pastor, that's me, would you just wave your hand at me? You can put it down after I see it. Thank you, honey. Anyone else? Thank you. Okay, great. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. So thank you. Thank you, God. So, four beautiful people raised their hands. Three of them young people. We are not going to allow the devil to win. So tonight, Lord, I pray for my friends, these beautiful people that are here tonight. And by the mighty name of Jesus, I rebuke the assault against their soul. And I declare over you, no weapon formed against you will prosper. I declare the blood of Jesus over your mind, your soul, your body. I break the lie of the enemy. I command any deceiving, oppressing spirit to leave you now. And I pray right now for these four beautiful people. I pray for an avalanche of heaven-sent love to pour into you, that you would leave tonight feeling that your heavenly Father wrapped his arms around you and started loving all the pain out of you. God, I declare it over these precious lives, each of them, in the mighty name of Jesus. And I'm just going to ask you tonight, thank you for entrusting me, you that raised your hands. I'm going to ask you to please talk with someone tonight before you leave and just tell them, you know, God touched me during that part of the service. And make sure that someone in your circle knows about your fight, because you're going to win it in Christ's name. And tonight the tide turned, momentum changed. The fight not, it may not be all, the fight not, you know, it may not be totally done, but tonight victory was declared in Christ's name. Amen. I want to pray for, if there's any other pastors, I want to pray for these pastors or any other pastors that are here tonight. Can I pray for you guys? Tell me your name again.
Tomati.
And Tisa? Tomati and Tisa. Tessa. Okay, thank you. Lord, thank you for Tomati and Tessa. We bless them in Jesus' name. Thank you, God, for your hand upon their lives. In the mighty name of Jesus. You know, Pastor Tomati, I saw a really cool thing when I shook your hands. I saw the Lord was working on a piece of jewelry, and he was making all these kind of extravagant cuts in it, all these angles and this beautiful care. And God's taken extra time with you. He's taken extra time to prepare you and to make you who you are. God's just so proud of you for hanging in there, because God's made something really beautiful out of you. You are a gem to the kingdom of God. You're a gift. And when you think about your story and the ruggedness of your beginning to where God has you now, man, you are the proof of what God can do with a man who gives himself to God, who surrenders to his kingdom. And so part of your time here has been for you and your wife. It's been personal to God to develop you and to make you into who you're called to be. And God's just really proud. He's proud of that you really have a son heart, a sonship heart. Even without kind of having the historical background of that in your family, you're a real son in the kingdom. You're a son to the fathers of the city. You're a son in the movement you belong to. And God's just really proud of you. And I declare, okay, so something around the mountain where you live, I loosen mountain miracles to you, mountain salvation. On the other side of the mountain, the hand of God's moving. So God, thank you. It's like I can't, so God's reaching over the mountain. He's touching your house, your church, your family, your neighborhood. And so I declare all the land that you, in fact, that I think you do like prayer walks. And I declare all that land, all those people, all those houses, all those businesses are going to have a divine encounter from God. just like your faith. And so God's going to honor your faith, young man. He's proud of you. He's proud of you dove into this thing with so much passion. You dove into it with so much reckless obedience. And that kind of stuff just makes God so happy. You didn't make a mistake. Nothing's wrong. Nothing's out of place. I declare revival comes to you. Now, I see a passport. I see the pages kind of flipping past me. I see them all full. God's going to use you in the nations, not just this nation. So there is a furthering of your calling that God's going to bring you into in the next 18 months. You won't have to make it happen. You're going to be invited into it, drawn into it. The evangelistic gift on you is about to explode with signs and wonders. I see cripples walking. I see blind people seeing. I see cancer fleeing. In the name of Jesus. So God, I thank you that you've been preparing this vessel in this kind of almost in a secret place, but in a beautiful place for the season that they're about to enter into as a family. God, I thank you for it. Makasi kolobolia malere da boso ta malia pala motomo shola mata masere bedade akasi da botoka shola mala da badada masere baki. And listen, three musicians to come into your worship team, and God's making a different kind of sound come out of your church. There's kind of a ruggedness to it, or a rock to it. There's kind of this pulse to it. God said, don't change a thing about them and that. It's from God. And it's a sound that's going to connect with a generation that's looking for heaven. So just watch what God does and watch the poetry. Watch the things flowing together. There's a star in your family. There's an athletic star growing up. There's a musical a gift. All these things flooding in your family are rising to new heights in Christ's name. So God, thank you for your grace upon this family. God, thank you for such a godly woman of true godliness, woman of true surrender to you, radical as her husband in all things, in obedience and sacrifice. So I'm going to touch you again. The moment I do, I loosen a miracle house to come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord of the church. God, I thank you for it. It comes from God, and nobody can stop it. So God, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just lift your hands to heaven. Thank you, God. I feel like part of my assignment is to initiate kind of prophetic seasons, and I just declare one over your life that hearing from God and however God talks to you, He's going to. When I went, Pastor Allen at Sunday night at in Auckland, C3, I prophesied to a guy in the back row, second from the back row, and I said, I see you in the front of a sailboat, and you're grinning ear to ear, and God breathed into your sail, and all of a sudden you were in the lead. And the story was, the pastor told me later, that guy was on the American's Cup, the America Cup, whatever they call it. He did that, and now he's got a wind business that predicts wind. And so the point of this is God talks to you in images, pictures, examples, and language that relates to you. God knows your sign language. My wife likes birds, so whenever a bird shows up on the patio, she says, the Lord sent that bird. I'm like thinking, it's just a bird. She said, no, it's from heaven. It's for the Lord. So whatever your language is. Hey, Pastor, what's your name?
Racky.
Lord, thank you for Pastor Racky. We bless him in Christ's name. Thank you, God, for all you're doing and done. Thank you, Jesus. Pastor Racky, you have a spirit like King David had. In the same day, David could like kill 50 Philistines and write a worship song. Same day. What'd you do today? Well, I killed 50 Philistines and wrote an awesome worship song. you have this both strength and tenderness. You have a great strength, but then you have this great spirituality. And something happens. There's authority in your voice. There's authority in your actions, both because of the ground, the history, your people, but because of you. You have broken the curses off of your family. You have broken the curses off the men of your family. And I declare over you, Pastor Iraqi, that, okay, three things. Number one, the spirit of premature death has been broken by you off of your family. It's broken. It's stopped. It can't pass. It stops with you and it stops through you. It can't go forward. Number two, I declare that the spirit of violence is broken off of your family in the name of Jesus. And I declare that the three brothers, the others, they come into the kingdom as warriors like you are. Warriors, mighty men of valor for the kingdom of God. And number three, I declare that the beautiful, there was worship in your house as a boy. There were sounds. And then there was heartache. And I pray for every person who is still feeling the heartache for God to heal them. As God's touched you, may God touch them. It looks like at 24, 24 and a half, some kind of incident or accident affected you with a athletic career or something, and it looked like your dreams had fallen apart, but all along God had called you for something bigger and more. You're in the will of God for your life. God's going to use you. I see two government grants coming to you. I loosen them in Christ's name. I declare that God empowers you to be a voice to your people, not to the whole region. But God's up to something to heal ancient wounds. He's up to that. So God, thank you for all you're doing. So the little prophetess, I loosen great things to happen in your family in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God, for your grace upon Pastor Iraqi. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. It's real. Thank you. I'm glad he didn't go down past you. He would have took you down with him. Just saying. Just saying. Might have been in the third row. I want, did you people come together? Yeah. Which of you came together? So can you four people stand up if you wouldn't mind? So if you wouldn't mind joining hands together. You know each other, right? Okay. Trying to make it happen. So God, I thank you for, what's your name? Mikhail? I like that name too. It's, so Miss Mikhail, God likes you. God likes you. He likes your way above normal hunger. He likes your way above normal boldness. Your passion for God. When you worship, everything changes. You change atmospheres by the way you worship. And God loves the way. So in the body of the church you come from and the people that know you, you're like God's cheerleader to them. You always have a word of encouragement, word of hope in life. But people don't know your own story, that you overcame heartache, disappointment, pain, and trauma. You're a walking miracle. You're God's miracle woman. In this next season, you're going to see notable miracles happen. And listen, the gift of miracles, work of miracles to flow through you supernaturally in a great way. In the name of Jesus. So I see the one that looks like you is going to become great favor. I see your picture in a magazine. I see some amazing things happen in the future. God is blessing your family. God is ordaining things to be restored that were stolen from your specific family. Things that were ripped out of your grandparents' hands are being redelivered to your children and then to your grandchildren. So God, thank you for all you're doing. This amazing family. And God, I pray for whatever city these four have come from, and I declare a revival there, a breakthrough there, your kingdom come there, your will be done there, in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, God, for honoring their faith as they came here, God. Meet them and do miracles for them, in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, God. So, you two guys married? Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, do you know each other? Okay. What's your name? Ryan and Briley. So, Ryan, I got a great word for you. So, you know, I wrote a book called God of the Comeback. Welcome to your comeback. Your comeback has begun. And a 3.5-year season. So, when it was like a moving band came to your house and emptied it out. So I declare that God is going to refurnish your house with everything that's taken. And from something that people say is dead is not. And God does a miracle in your home tonight. Something that was lost, they say you'll never go back, will be brought back. God's helping you. He's fighting for you. And I declare that, Ryan, your comeback begins. God fights for you. God helps you. And God is going to do what no man can do for you. God, do miracles for this awesome young man, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, would you just come out now? I need some men here that God's given you a comeback just to surround him for just like 4 minutes and pray for him, 3 minutes, because this guy's going to go home a different man. Just brothers in the church is coming. And what was your name? Briley. So it's Briley. So I see three women looking like you, two younger, one older, sisters, daughters, whatever it is. I loosen a revival to all the women in your family, a breakthrough, a supernatural visitation from God, the promise of God fulfilled in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God, for your hand upon Miss Briley. Thank you for touching her family, her sisters, her daughters. Everybody in her world gets a divine touch from God in the name of Jesus. And God, I thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for what you're doing. So there was something you either talked about in the way here or you prayed about in your heart. The thing you ask God to do, he does for you tonight. Listen, a miracle in your home in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord of the church. God, I thank you for it. Amen, amen. Come on, let's your hands to heaven, everybody. You're doing so good. We okay, Pastor? We can stop. Hi, guys. How you doing? Hey, are you together? What's your name? Dean and... Tarangi? I'm sorry. I just ruined your name. Lord, I thank you for Dean. Would you mind standing up? Let me pray for you. So... this is both of you. So I got a great word for you. So it's breakthrough time. So in your life, Dean, you've accomplished a lot. You have a great resume. Building things, making things happen, pushing them forward, not quitting. In life, you represent a man that's overcome, who's built things, who's achieve things. I declare your greatest season's just beginning. And that God's given you an unusual physical strength and a mental stamina to push through to another season. So just watch. God is setting it up for you. And it's not going to be like before when it was, you had to do everything. This time God's doing most of it. I'm just going to walk in and clean up. Okay, God's going to help you. I listen to financial, supernatural miracle in your world when it comes to business, partnerships, contracts, and future endeavors in the name of Jesus. And I declare upon your family that because you've lived and stewarded God's grace as a husband and wife with care and godliness, that there are great champions, three great champions in your family. And I declare that God is going to show off. You have a home of champions, and your children will change the world. And so watch what God does next in them. Watch what God does next in their story. So God bless this amazing family. And God, I thank you, your hand upon them. Favor, acceleration, breakthrough, supernatural season that just unexplainable. How many good things you do, God, all at once. Thank you, God, for that. And I just command the devil to restore to you, Dean, twice as much as he took. in the season of robbery, the season of loss, in Christ's name. And I declare God's grace upon you, my precious sister. God loves you. You're awesome. You're spiritual. God's helping you. God's fighting for you. God's with you. Thank you, Jesus. You guys have any grandkids yet? Yeah, so I'm just maybe looking 10 years ahead from now. And I saw you were sitting there. There was like three grandkids on your laps. You had so much joy, both of you. This is going to be such a great season for you, because you're going to see in your family the reward of your lives. You built a bridge out of one place to another place, and your family's going over it into great blessings, and you're going to rejoice in it in a great way. I loosen into your chemistry a miracle, your blood a miracle, your body a miracle. Whatever is said, God is unsaying it. God is undoing it. I loosen a physical miracle to you in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord of the church. I declare God's healing power and life to you from head to foot in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you, God. Pastor, you have 2 more hours. That's it. A couple more minutes. I'm sorry, Pastor. I don't know him good enough to have that much fun with him. Thank you, God, for your presence. I just take that piano player with me. She's awesome. It's been 3 years, almost 3 years and 6 months, but 3 years and like 3 or 4 months. You haven't heard from a child, so someone disconnected from you, and there's, of course, the normal parental concern, but then there's fearfulness about something wrong. If that rings a bell, 3 years, I haven't heard from a child, would you wave your hand at me, because we're just going to get a miracle for that. I'm praying that phone call will happen this week, a reconnection to a child. Okay. So, Lord, we pray. Let me come back there for you. Thank you, Jesus. You have your hand up. Okay. So, Lord, I declare a miracle right now in the name of Jesus. The God of the universe knows where your child is. And I pray for your heart to be mended by not just hearing from them, but by hearing a different kind of conversation from them. God, I pray as I touch mother, touch the child right now. So God, do a miracle in the mighty name of Jesus. Would you mind standing up? I want to pray for you. So I want to say some things. So, physically, God's doing a miracle for you. So, you had like three consecutive emotionally traumatic things happen at once, beginning like 5 years ago and up to 3 years ago, and it kind of overwhelmed your body, your nervous system, your immune system, and you're just not feeling like you used to feel. But I'm praying right now, by the time you get home, you're already feeling better, okay? That God's rebooting your systems and doing a miracle in your body. I command trauma in the name of Jesus to leave your body. And I loosen God's, the power of God to your body from your head to your foot right now in the name of Jesus Christ. I declare a miracle to you, precious woman. So I'm going to pray this prayer for her. Tell me your name. Wendy? So I'm going to pray for Miss Wendy. I'm going to pray this prayer that God's canceling surgeries. And if that rings a bell with anyone else here, you want in on the canceling surgery prayer, just lift your hands up, because we're gonna cancel a bunch of surgeries. God, I thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Surgeries are canceled because of heaven's intervention for your people. In the mighty name of Jesus, I declare, God, you do it. You do it. Thank you, God. You do it, God, in Jesus' name. believe he's stopping stuff, changing things, healing things, restoring function. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. You guys stand up. Let me pray for you. I saw like a delivery truck pull up at your house, and there were like three packages. God's visiting you this year, and every package gets bigger. It's more powerful. And God's accomplishing something permanent in your lives. So this is going to be such a great time for you guys, because the weight of discouragement is just dropping off of you. And God's breathing upon you. You know, I feel like that you faithfully served in the house of God where your parents, you know, started, and you really are great pastors and great son and daughter. But there's coming an ownership of things that God's talking to you about. So God's writing some things, awakening some things, really stirring some things deeply inside of you. So faithful people qualify for promotion and increase. Something's hitting you guys from heaven. Some really cool stuff, amazing stuff. It's all good. It's going to help the church. It's going to expand. It's going to kind of recalibrate things. So you have a calling to the nations. So part God, he doesn't submerge things, but God, he keeps things for right timing. And God's going to start stirring something inside of you. Such a passion for specific places in the world. And every place, I want to say this, every place where your parents have gone in the kingdom, God's going to give you a sevenfold increase. Every physical place, every ethnic place, every national place. And so it's going to be your parents opening the door and you expanding the kingdom through it. So there's all kinds of cool things. I see you and your brother, like, this is an old school reference, like a wrestling tag team. And you just take turns doing things. Your family's taking turns doing things. The other part of it is this, that the women in this family that have married into this family are called to be prophetesses. There's no weak people in your family. There are mountain movers. And so I declare that tell me your name, Amy, and the other Allison, Alyssa. Can I pray for you guys too? Yeah. So I don't mess up names. Perfect. Yeah, just come down here if you wouldn't mind. Yeah. So the cool thing about what God's going to do is God's going to give you this prototype for a kingdom work that affects a lot of churches. Dozens, hundreds, and then thousands of churches. So it's kind of a non-profit covering thing. So really cool things are in the orbit of God's purpose already. Okay, awesome stuff's on the way. You guys are really in the heartbeat of God. You're doing great, you're doing great, you're doing great. I saw the Lord wake you up at night, start talking to you, or writing faster than you could write. I loosen your prophetic gift to come to the next level. God's going to speak to you with such clarity and power, like Pastor Linda. Everything's moving up. So God's anointed this house that all four of you are mighty. There's not just supporting your husband, it's full partnerships and a husband and wife team, your teams. But both the women here have a prophetic gift, and I loosen that prophetic gift to your generation, to this region, to this country, to the countries of the world. I loosen it in Christ's name, and I declare that you will prophesy mountains to move, and they will move. You will prophesy heavens to open, they will open. I saw you, Elson, I saw you standing on a stage and you shouted out, it's going to rain, and it started physically raining. God's going to give you authority that you'll see things happen that are physical in the realm of miraculous results. It doesn't matter what one person thinks. It doesn't matter what one critic has said. It doesn't matter what one... None of that matters to God. It only matters to God of what He thinks and He says and He determines. And you four people are called to change the world. You're called to make a difference. And God's really proud of you. He's really proud of you. He's really proud of you, young man, for faithfulness, consistency, hard work, diligence, determination. And you surrendered your strength to the kingdom, to your parents' wisdom, to stewardship. You're really a great son in that regard of obedience to, and so last year you passed the big test last year. You know, God's just really proud of you. And just to watch what God's going to do. You are going to be an elder in this country. You're going to move in the eldership of the future. So I see your brother being used all over the world. I see you rising up in this nation as an important voice. And you will sit with the seats of the elders of this country, not beneath them, but with them. God's raising you to that kind of prominence. And so you just keep being yourself. You keep doing before you hit a birthday's coming. Before you hit this birthday, God visits you. Fire reawakens in you. And just, I mean, people are going to say, what in the world happened? But it's just God stirring what was already there. And together, you and your wife have this apostolic and prophetic gifting that's just unstoppable. So everything's perfect. Everything's in the timing of God. God bless these four beautiful people. Thank you for your hand upon them. Bless their little dish rooms. Bless them in every way with life and health and strength and grace. So who's got the little musician? They all think they are. So thank you, God, for the little dish room band, the little people. So I saw the Lord put a finger on a little girl's head. When He touched her, she became had the gift of musical genius. I loosened the gift of genius to come to your family in the name of Jesus Christ. God bless these people in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys, for listening to me. God bless you.